Yes, it was quite a while ago that we were here. When we left, we had five children, and my wife, I believe, was carrying the sixth. The Benders are here. Hi, Leon and Kate. Thank you for coming. One of the interesting things that I note is that some things don't change. I think Bob and Jean sit in the same pew that they always sat in. So it's good to be back and to see new faces and to renew friendships with some familiar faces. Our experience in this congregation was a very important part of my spiritual development. I was here at a very critical time in my spiritual growth. And I was ministered to very, very deeply by John Landis and Abe Hoover and Jim Hess, names from the mid-'80s, mid-'90s. God did some real basic work in my life during those years. Well, this morning I'd like to preach from John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is a favorite portion of scripture of mine. I think I may have preached more sermons from this text than from any other text. But I like this scripture because it's packed with interesting word pictures, and there's repetitions. There's a saying that a picture is worth a thousand words, and in this several verses, there are pictures that are each sermons that are thousands of words. Notice, too, as we read through here, there are repetitions. There's a lot of words that are repeated, and I think they are significant things. So I'm going to read the first 17 verses of John 15. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My love is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. As I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of things that invite our exploration in this text. But my goal this morning is to look briefly at the metaphors of the vine and the branches, and then to focus our remainder of our time on looking at the relationship between the two. As you leave this morning, I'd like you to leave with a picture, a word, and a formula. So let's start this morning by looking at the picture. And Jesus starts in verse 1 and he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. I wish that I could wax eloquent this morning. That I was given the tongue of angels, that I could proclaim to you or describe more adequately the wondrous glory of this vine. Jesus is the true vine. Oh, to be able to portray and illustrate his rich virtues and to adequately portray this vine in all its majestic beauty and grandeur. What a precious vine. Suffice it to say, never was there a vine like this one. In the description, Jesus says not only that he is the vine, but that he is the true vine. He is the true vine. And that implies that there are other vines that are out there. Vines that are not true vines. They are imposters. They are counterfeits. And those vines seek to draw us away from the true vine. They offer options. They offer, they make their appeal to draw life from them. Looking back over history, over the centuries, vines have sprung up and attracted a following, but in time they faded from the scene and are lost in history, each making promises that have proved empty. Vines that are similar to Jonah's vine. Remember the story of Jonah's vine. It sprang up and provided shade and relief for a short time, and then it died. It disappeared and was gone. It's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the true vine is eternal in its grandeur. It never fades, and it never changes. It's no less true today than it was when Jesus spoke these words back at the Last Supper. He is the eternal vine, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The picture is Jesus as a true vine, a true vine. In verse 5, we see another part of the picture. And he says to his disciples that are gathered around him that evening, he said, you are branches. And the Greek word that is translated branches, when I think of branches, I tended to think of a heavy branch, a big heavy branch of a big old tree. But that's not the kind of picture that comes through in the Greek word. The Greek word is a little branch. It's a tender, flexible branch or a sprout, literally, is what it means. So can you imagine Peter sitting there and hearing Jesus refer to him as a little sprout? A little sprout. So you are the branches. You are the branches. And Jesus goes on to make several statements, several truths about these branches that we're not going to address today. Those are things that appeal to us this morning, but we're not going to address them. We'll consider them rabbit trails for our purpose this morning. And we want to focus our attention this morning on the relationship between those branches and the vine. The vine and the branches and the relationship between them. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. This scripture gives us beautiful insight, powerful insight, and reveals to us an intimate relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord. The words in the relationship that describe the relationship are the words remain, remain. If you have a King James, it's the word abide. I prefer that word abide. I use the NIV, but this is one place where I prefer the King James rendering of that Greek word to be abide. There's something that's deeper or richer in my perspective in the word abide over remain. But in my studies, they both pretty much mean the same. This is a Greek word that is used 120 times in Scripture, and it's interesting that John in his writings, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, uses this word about half the time. Half the occurrences in the New Testament are from from John using this word. So he liked to talk about abiding and remaining. This word is used 11 times in our passage today. It's one of those repeating words, abide or remain. And that's one of the words I want to leave with you today. The picture is the vine and the branch. The word is to abide. So the definition, the word calls us to stay. It calls us to remain. It calls us to continue on. It's a word that calls us to keep on, to stay, to remain. That is the meaning behind the word. But it's used 11 times in this text. It's not a word that we would use to talk about how we come to church, because we come to church, we're here, we worship, and then we leave. The word remaining is a word that means to continue on, to stay there, to live there, to find life there. Let's look at verse 4. Verse 4 is a key formula, or a key verse that I'd like to focus on this morning. The first phrase there, remain in me and I will remain in you. Now, looking at the rest of the verse, you see the word remain there occurs two more times. So remain is mentioned in that verse alone four times. But Jesus is saying, remain in me and I will remain in you. If you have the King James, it's abide in me and I will abide in you. And he's saying that you need to continue on in me. You need to stay in me. And the other part of that phrase is what happens, or the word that occurs after the remain or the abide, and that is the word in. I think that's an intimate word. He doesn't say, stay beside me. He doesn't say, stay behind me. He doesn't stay with me. He says, stay in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And notice, too, that there's that this phrase is conditional. It's conditional. If I do the first part, the second part will follow. Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's saying to the branches, if you remain in me, then I will remain in you. So the ball is in your court. The ball is in your court. You need to remain in me. So the word that I see in this phrase, of course, is the word abide. The phrase here also introduces a formula. And it's a formula that occurs in other places in the scripture, but let's look at it right here. Abide in me and I will abide in you is in a formula where one thing is in another, and as a result, the second thing will be in the first. Look at verse 5. It's repeated. In verse 4, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. In verse 5, if a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So that there we have it again. If a man remains in me, and I in him. Verse 7, it's repeated. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. So there are three times we see that formula in this text. If you remain in me, then I will remain in you. Now, interestingly, it gets better here. That's not the first time on this evening that Jesus used those words or that formula. If you have your Bibles open, just turn back one chapter to chapter 14, verse 10. And just to get the context, we'll read verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And here's verse 10. "Don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The formula is the same, but the people are different, or the subjects are different. Instead of the branches being in the vine, here we have Jesus being in the Father, and the Father being in Jesus. So he's telling his disciples of this fact. And then he goes on to say, "The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me." The word living living is the same Greek word that's translated remain or abide in chapter 15. So we have the same formula and we have the word. Here it's called living. You get the idea what might be meant by living. It's something that isn't a one-time occurrence, but it's something that's steady. It's continuous. It's ongoing. It's life. It's living. So we have the formula. Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus, and he uses the word living. Let's look at verse 15. We have it again. The Spirit. Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. There we have at least part of the formula where the Spirit is in you. And we also have the word, he lives with you. The word live is the word remain in chapter 15. So we have this idea, this incredible idea that Jesus used this same formula that he is describing his relationship to the vine and the branches as he uses to describe his relationship to the Father. Jesus is in the Father is in him. And he uses that in that same night, a few minutes later, he's using that same formula to say, the branches are in me and I am in the branches. We are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. What a wonderful thought. What other relationship does that... this morning in our Sunday school class, we talked about intimacy. Intimacy with Jesus and the Father. And certainly this certainly supports that. It's intimacy. But it reminds me of the language that the Bible uses to talk about marriage. Husband and wife being one flesh. This is similar language where it talks about Christians, believers, being in Christ. And Christ being in the believer. What a powerful picture. So step back and think about the ramifications of this picture, the vine and the branch. Think about the ramifications of we as being branches, living in and abiding in the vine. And like branches would naturally do, all of life flows from the vine. All of our sustenance, all the things that we need for life, all the energy to produce fruit comes from the relationship to the vine. It gives our life, it gives our sustenance, it gives health, it causes us to flourish, and all because the branch is in the vine and the vine is in the branch. We're talking about what's being described is a supernatural union. And so... here's where my title comes in. The title that I chose for this message is More Than Followers. And the point that I want to make there in that title is that as believers in Jesus and having Jesus abide in us and us in him, it takes us to a different level, a higher level of discipleship or of following. Think about Peter in Matthew 26. It says when Jesus was arrested, he was taken to trial, and Peter followed from a distance. Peter followed from a distance. He walked in Jesus' footsteps. He was there, but he was behind. We are called, or what Jesus is describing here is a relationship with Jesus where we're not behind him, we're not walking in his footsteps, but he is in us and we are in him. This is a key provision in the new covenant. This is one of the defining provisions of the new covenant. The new covenant that Jesus put in place where believers don't just follow the laws. The law is in them. Jesus is in them. He is, and they are in him. This is a key provision. Paul talked about this relationship and he described it as the mystery of the gospel. Paul was a preacher. He went around preaching the gospel. He said, the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. That's the mystery that prophets and angels long to look into. the mystery of the gospel, Christ in you. So think of all the people. Think of the many followers down through history and how people followed them. Think about Confucius, Karl Marx, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, whatever, add to the list. But think about how people surrounded them, and they followed them. They picked up their values, and they practiced their disciplines. But they were separate people. They were people that tried to mimic their leader. Even in a spiritual level, we have leaders too. Think about Martin Luther or John Calvin or Menno Simons. You know, we're here today as Mennonites. We're followers of Menno Simons, you could make the argument. We would never say that Menno Simons is in us and we're in Menno Simons. You know, some of the things that he taught, we ascribe to and we follow. But it's not the same kind of following that we talk about when we talk about following Jesus. Unlike those followers, we as Jesus followers have a supernatural union with our leader. And where they abide beside him or behind him or around him, we abide in him and he in them. So let's talk about, we talked about abiding in Jesus and he in us. How does that happen? Let's talk in closing here, in the end, for the rest of the time, let's talk about how we abide in Jesus. How does this happen? The first thing that we need to do is we need to believe. We need to believe what's stated about the true vine. We need to believe that Jesus is indeed not only a vine, but the true vine. We need to believe that he is the eternal Son of God. We need to believe that he became flesh and that he lived on earth and lived a sinless life. That he was the Lamb of God who died in your place for your sin. And he was raised to life to provide for you a righteousness that comes from God. We need to believe that. We need to believe that Jesus today is glorified and he's seated at the right hand of God and he's waiting for the command to return for his church. We embrace the vine. We believe in the vine. We put our trust in the vine. We believe it's there even though we can't see it. We believe that it exists and we stake our lives on it. And we act on it. We embrace that. We believe that Jesus is the true vine. We embrace these fundamental truths about the vine. That's the first step. The second step is, have you been connected to the vine? And this is kind of a one-time once-in-a-lifetime event, being connected to the vine, being attached to the vine, being grafted into the vine. It can happen at baptism or new birth. And we won't go into that any further, but thinking about a period of time where we are grafted in, we are connected to, as branches, as little branches, as little sprouts, we are grafted into the true vine. Has the gardener connected you to the vine? You know, in this picture that Jesus gives us here, he doesn't say how the branches become connected to the vine. We don't know if they grew there initially or if they were wild branches that were grafted in. I like to think of the idea that it makes sense theologically to me anyway, that they would have been wild branches that were cut off of another branch and they're grafted into the vine. They become part of the vine. That's a picture that's given in Romans 11 where Jesus talks about the church and the nation of Israel. The wild olive shoots being grafted into the true olive tree. So the question is, have you been grafted? Have you been connected to the vine? You cannot draw nourishing sap from this vine, this true vine, unless you've connected to him. If we're not connected, drawing sustenance from the vine, the only other alternative is to stand beside the vine and try to look like it. But Jesus has so much more for us than that. Jesus wants us to be in him. He wants to resource us. He wants to be our life. This one-time event, I would suggest, happens at our baptism. And I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. He says, when you were baptized, don't you know? Don't you realize? Don't you know that when you were baptized, you were united with him? You were made one with him in his death. You were united with him in his burial. You were united with him in his resurrection from the dead. You were united with him. It's the placing of the shoot into the vine. We are baptized into Jesus. I love that picture, that analogy. We are placed in him. And at that time, he's also placed in us. We receive his Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So we are baptized into him, and he is baptized into us, to use some of the Acts terminology. We also honor this, and we also remember this in our communion service. You know, it's interesting. John, as an important part of communion is in the Christian life, John doesn't talk about communion at the Last Supper like the other gospel writers do. But I think he does talk about communion. I think it's in John chapter 6 where he says this. And this is where a lot of his believers said, this guy's crazy. And they walked away from him. He said this, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me. And there's that word remains again. It's the same Greek word that he uses in John 15. He remains in me. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains, and here's the formula, remains in me and I in him. It's a remembering. It's a renewal of baptism, of what happens at baptism. But what Jesus is saying here in John chapter 6, when you take communion, whoever eats my flesh, he says in the verse before this, my flesh and my blood are real food. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Communion is a holy and sacred time. But the question is, has the gardener connected you to the vine? Do you believe and are you connected? The second part comes from, and the last part I want to talk about here is about abiding, is the continuous being connected. Life flows out of the vine. Walking and living in the vine. Abiding speaks of a continuing, ongoing, life-giving relationship with the vine. Abiding. Certainly prayer is involved. Seeking God in his word is involved. Being in fellowship with others who are also connected to the vine is involved. Obedience to Jesus. Obedience to the vine. Allowing the vine to give direction to the growth of the sprout is certainly part of it. Verse 10 talks about, as we obey his commands, we abide in the vine. From the branch's perspective, the branch looks to the vine as a source of life, as a resource for health and purpose. Abiding in the vine, the vine gives light, it gives direction, it gives strength, it gives hope, it gives the ability to love, to experience joy, peace, and comfort. Again, the picture of the branch connected to the vine, drawing life from the vine. To summarize this morning, Jesus is the true vine. You are branches connected to him, dependent upon him. Remain in him. Continue in him. He will remain in you. Your life is in the vine. And just to add this thought, the Great Commission, we're often familiar with the Great Commission, and I'm not putting that down, but the Great Commission in John chapter 15 is not to go, but to stay. Abide. Remain. Live. Draw life from the vine. Stay connected. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, abide in the vine. Remain in him and he will remain in you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome picture, this awesome revelation in a few words, how your word pictures portray such rich and deep truth. Father, you are the gardener. We are little sprouts. We are tender branches. Father, it says here in the scripture that we did not choose you, but you chose us. And so humbly today, Lord, we thank you for the choosing of us and to place us into the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ and to have him energize us and give us strength and give us life and give us direction, enabling us to bear fruit for your honor and for your glory. Father, help each of us. Help each of us and help us together as a church to remain, to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ and have him give us life. Lord, help us to stay. Help us to grow. Help us to be healthy as we remain and abide in the vine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.